We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The destination for Boston sports fans.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This next hour of Fitzy and Mego is sponsored by Feldman Surveyors. At Feldman, they get it right from the ground up.
He's a Boston sports superfan.
What's up, Nick?
Yeah. All right, Tom.
She's on the beat for a new generation of sports fans.
What is the Justice League? Is that the same thing as the Avengers?
I like this lady that you have on the line. She makes a lot of sense. Tell her what you wish now.
Now I wish she fell.
It's Fitzy and Mego.
The name of this show should be Off the Rails.
Your narcissism is ruining the program.
I'm sorry. I'm a disaster.
Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Hour number two of Fitzy and Mego here on Sports Radio 93.7 FM WEEI and all across the WEEI Sports Radio Network. We are T-minus 26 hours, 18 minutes until kickoff tomorrow. A new era of Patriots football will be underway at Gillette Stadium as the Miami Dolphins take on your New England Patriots, and we hope that they squish the fish. Joining us now as part of our Home and Away series here on Fitzy and Mego, you just heard from Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is an award-winning sports anchor and reporter at WPBF 25 in West Palm Beach, Florida. Of course, you know him as the gentleman from WPRI in Rhode Island. Used to cover the Pats, and now he's down there talking Fins. Mego's pal and yours and mine, Yanni Karekas. Hey, Yanni, how are you? Welcome to Fitzy and Mego.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
How hot is it down there, Yanni? I'm curious. Has nice weather set in, or is it still like in the 90s down there?
I just coached my daughter's soccer game, and it was brutally hot. 12 o'clock kickoff, and I'm dying. I'm used to New England. You know, after Labor Day, you're like, all right, here comes the cool weather. It's fall. And here, they don't get the memo. It's still 95 every day.
Yeah, I spent some time last winter in Naples, Florida area, and I absolutely loved it. And we sort of fell in love with the area, and then my wife and I realized, like, yeah, but it also, like, stays 95 to 100 the rest of the year, so... That's kind of weird, but, you know, I don't know how pumpkin spice tastes in humidity, but hey, whatever, right? So tell me, so you followed the Patriots for a long time. Now you've been following the Dolphins. Give me a feel for this team. What's the state say? You know, what are the fans feeling, and what are the expectations for the Dolphins heading into what should be a highly contested AFC East in 2021?
Yeah, so I think there's, I guess I would call it cautious optimism, because this is a team who should have made the playoffs last year. You know, went into week 17 right there knocking on the doorstep. But it all hinges on what Tua Tagovailoa does. And he was, I think, serviceable last year, but as a rookie QB in a COVID season, and, you know, we had Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, there as they were sort of exchanging as a starter, he never really got into a flow. So, this is the year for Tua. You have all the Deshaun Watson rumors swirling over the last couple weeks. He wasn't named a captain this week. So there's sort of this, are the Dolphins all behind Tua narrative? We'll wait and see. So I think he needs to prove and figure out this offense, and then they'll only be as good as Tua is.
They'll only be as good as Tua is, you say, but there's also a questionable offensive line that he may be behind. How have they kind of set him up for success if he can find it there?
Yeah, so it's crazy. Their left tackle, Austin Jackson, was on the COVID-19 list this week, and then the Dolphins just actually sent out an email saying he traveled separately from the team to New England and is questionable for the game. So their offensive line is already thin, so having him back would be huge. Otherwise, they're going to have to do some shuffling. But, yeah, listen, he's going to throw the ball out pretty quickly. They're going to run the ball. They're not going to be, you know, he's not going to throw it 50 times a game. But the Dolphins' receiving core is really good. I mean, Jaylen Waddle, the rookie, has been really impressive so far. You have Devontae Parker. Will Fuller's out for this game. But they're pretty deep, and Gesicki is a solid tight end. So they have a lot of pieces. They have a better receiving core than the Patriots. But, you know, whether or not they're going to put up a ton of points, I don't think they're going to be overly aggressive on that front. So I think it's actually going to be a pretty low-scoring game in this one.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of Patriots team we have at the end of this season, but I have a feeling it'll be a drastically different Miami Dolphins offense and receiving core come January 9th when the team plays their final game of the season. Both teams play their final game of the season, the rematch in Miami for Week 18. Will Fuller could be back. Waddle will have a year under his belt. Miami does have a lot of potential. But I'm curious what Dolphins fans and the local media in the area think about the Patriots. The Mac Tua thing is imminently fascinating. And I'm curious if there's, I don't know if it's how people feel about the fact that like guys like Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle all said that they were big Mac Jones guys over Tua. You know, I can't imagine that sits very well.
Right. It's almost like, all right, we finally get Brady out of the division, right? And then here comes an heir apparent who maybe is the next Brady. So for a franchise that has really tried to find the answer at quarterback post Dan Marino, I can see the frustration there. It was interesting. We actually asked Waddle this week about those comments because prior to being selected by the Dolphins, as you mentioned, he said Mac Jones throws, you know, a more catchable ball than Tua. So, He obviously didn't really address those specific comments. We asked him if, like, did he have to go up to Tua and clarify his statements? He said, no, we haven't talked about it. But at the end of the day, I think Dolphins fans are hoping that the national champion quarterback from Alabama that has a great 10 to 15 years is their guy and not the Patriots guy, because if it is the guy in New England, then, you know, they need to sort of reset the quarterback position. And they've had top five picks in the last 2 years. So when you look at all the young QBs coming out last year and this year, if they get a lemon in Tua, then that's really bad. So, and I'm not selling Tua stock yet. I just don't think we've seen enough of him. I think he can be good this year. So, but everyone is, it's weird in New England, you know, being up there for so long, you have this expectation of all right, 12 wins, AFC championship, at least in the Brady years. Everyone here is just like so jaded and used to bad seasons that they don't even allow themselves sort of to get excited, if that makes sense.
Sounds like old school Red Sox fans.
Big time. Yeah. And it's very funny, Yanni, to your point, I feel like New England fans are going to follow the trajectory of Justin Fields in specific, maybe more than any other quarterback from this class, the same way that I'm sure Miami Dolphins probably keep their good eye on Justin Herbert, since the team decided to pass on him last year and went with Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, so I think they would have, you know, liked to have Burrow at one, but that went to Cincinnati. But you're right, Herbert, and everyone is sort of going to be, compared in their draft class. And so it's a big year for Tua. I mean, the captain thing, everyone made a big thing about it. I think if you're a quarterback and a non-rookie, you should be a captain. I don't know how much he was campaigning for himself. My understanding is, you know, the players in the locker room said, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'd like to be your captain. Here's why. I don't know if Tua really was that outspoken about it, but didn't seem to be a big deal the other day. I know the optics aren't good from the outside, but he's an impressive guy being around him just in the press conference setting. He's very mature. His teammates seem to really like him, and everyone's saying how big of a leap he's made in terms of leadership from last year to this year.
Well, you mentioned leadership, Yanni. I'm curious because you're down there with a coach who is under the Bill Belichick coaching tree and Brian Flores. What is the perspective of folks down there, especially with Tom Brady right over in Tampa Bay? What is the perspective of Belichick right now? Have you heard anything about, you know, how people view Belichick as a coach, as a GM, and the success that he's had here with Brady and now his future without Brady?
Yeah, I think everyone, and it's not necessarily specific to South Florida, but in general, you know, in New England, we only listen to New England radio, right? So down here, I'm listening to local radio. I'm listening to more national radio, too. You know, I stream you guys as well. But everyone is so, oh, Belichick, what is he without Brady? So you hear that a lot. So I think from outside of New England, you're getting a lot of what is Belichick without Brady. I don't think anyone's discounting his six rings in New England. But because he doesn't really, you know, Belichick isn't warm and cuddly to the outside public, I think it's easy for people to get on him after the Patriots missed the playoffs and Brady did what he did. But, like, I mean, I don't know how you guys felt Thursday. Watching Brady throw touchdowns to Gronk on a banner night was, like, sadly nostalgic. And it's like you're, like, watching your ex get married or something. I don't know what it felt like.
It's like a parallel universe, I felt like I was watching.
It's the worst variant on the Foxborough timeline you possibly could have. I feel like I'm staring at my ex-wife looking better than ever across the soccer field, standing next to her chiseled husband who just got out of a brand new Escalade. It's a horror show.
That's perfect. Exactly.
Yeah. So, Yanni, since you had a chance to keep an eye on this team the whole time, you know, I think Mike Gesicki could give the Patriots fits like he kind of has in the past. Of course, he's known in these parts for catching the touchdown over Chung with 20 seconds left in what was Tom Brady's final regular season game. Now I feel like I have to go wash my mouth out with soap because I brought that up. Devontae Parker obviously gave fits to Gilmore. Give us one or two players to keep our eye on both sides of the ball tomorrow that maybe Patriots fans don't know that well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Xavien Howard, the cornerback who was sitting out and got the big contract, he and Byron Jones at cornerbacks are really good. So I'm interested to see the chess match of really all season with the Patriots. All right, they don't have a bona fide number one receiver. So what do opposing defenses do with their top corners? Do they put it on Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar? Who's it going to be? Or do they focus on the tight end? So I think the matchup of the Dolphins secondary with the Pats receivers is sort of going to be fascinating. And then I think, you know, if the Patriots just run the ball a ton, you know, I think that's sort of where they're going to go. Is it one of those things where the offensive line bully balls the Dolphins defensive line and it's one of those low scoring, you know, run it out type games? So I guess I'm fascinated because I guess it was last year, week one, the Cam Newton game, the Patriots, I think, completely outcoached the Dolphins because Miami didn't know what to expect with Cam Newton at offense. That was the game he ran, what, like 18 times or whatever. So I think there's an element of that with Belichick head games with Flores of, hey, I have this rookie QB. What am I going to do with him? Am I going to throw it a ton? Am I not going to throw it a ton? So they don't really have game day tape quite yet on the Patriots. But I will say the Dolphins, all the defensive players are really lauding Mac Jones this year. I think Jerome Baker was saying he's a quintessential Patriot. So everyone's sort of buying into him, even though he's a rookie.
So, Yanni, I'm going to close this off because it's Saturday, and I want you to get whatever free hours of the week that you have coming up. What's your prediction for tomorrow's game?
I like the Patriots, I'll say, covering 27-23. I think these teams are going to be competitive this year in the standings. I have the Pats making the playoffs as a wildcard team, obviously Buffalo winning the division. I think the Pats can go 11-6, maybe Miami goes 10-7. So I think really this year it's going to be Miami and New England fighting for one of those wild card spots with each other. But specific to this game, listen, all of us that experienced the Cam Newton experience last year, I think we're happy to move on from that and see the Patriot offense sort of evolve. So I think this game, the Patriots, especially week one buildup with more time to prepare, I like Belichick and the rookie QB. And isn't there a stat? Isn't Belichick undefeated with a rookie QB with the Patriots?
In fact, with a rookie quarterback, Bill Belichick is 6-0 and looking to push it to 7 tomorrow. Correct, Yanni?
There you go. So he loves having rookie QBs, and he loves crushing opponent rookie QBs. So, yeah, put me down for 27-23 Patriots.
That's two reporters in a row whose opinion we respect who both said 4-point win for the Patriots. It must be so. An award-winning sports anchor and reporter for WPBF 25 in West Palm Beach, Florida, Yanni Caracas, thank you for joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. We will speak to you soon, and please go enjoy that Florida sun for us.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks,
thanks
Yanni.
So much, Yanni. Just a great guy. One of anyone who knows or works in the local media knows from his days at WPRI. Everyone was always like, "Oh, do you know Yanni Caracas? He's the nicest guy." And as advertised, and that's crazy. Two people in a row who both said the Patriots will go 11-6 and they'll win tomorrow by 4 points. We're on to something here.
Karen said she liked the idea of going 11-6. She hedged that a little
bit. All right,
bit.
I mean,
you know,
all right,
there's wiggle room there. To me, 11-6 is a successful season. 11-6
for Mac,
Mac and Bill, because it's not just about Mac to me. You know, Bill's got a little bit of a redemption story. He's got to walk the walk this year compared to last year, in which he kind of crawled around on the ground where Cam was throwing his.
He's not going 7-9, bro. Yeah, no. Well, obviously, you can't go 7-9 because there's 17 games. But who would you say? I'm curious if those two interviews changed your opinion at all or informed it a bit further about tomorrow. And in the pecking order of who the pressure is on, Patriots-wise, this season, between Belichick, Mac Jones, and McDaniels, how would you sort of, like, power rank them heading into the season?
I think just by the nature of the game right now, Mac has the most pressure on him. And I feel for him. You know, he's a 23-year-old kid, and I think it shows so much when he's at the podium. That's the only time to me that his age shows, because on the field, he is cool as a cucumber. And I think that he's earned through his work ethic and focus, he's earned the respect of his teammates, and I think they genuinely like him. And guys like David Andrews are excited to play with him and follow him as a leader, even though he wasn't named a captain. You know, got to assume that's because he's a rookie. God, he looks so young at the podium.
He's such like, hey, everybody, I'm excited
dang.
To be your quarterback.
He said dang
the
other
really?
Day. He said, yeah, you know what, you want everything in practice to be perfect. Sometimes I say, dang, I want to run that back.
Well, you heard about Trent Brown saying this week, like, but they don't even have to look, if they know they screwed something up, they don't even have to look up or wait to hear if they're going to have to run it again or have someone like excoriate them in the huddle, because Mac Jones, he says, is all over them all the time. So I'm going to go back to this. Remember when Brady said that 90% of what he says on that show on HBO The Shop, he said 90% of what I say is a lie.
Yeah, that was not surprising at all.
No, I think Mac Jones is putting on a whale of a show. And we're going to get to another quarterback in a few minutes who some say put on a whale of a show this week, or was putting on a show to defend himself and explain matters as to why he's no longer with the Patriots. I think Mac Jones does a great job of selling the aw shucks, good guy, All-America routine when he's secretly a little sociopathic and crazy intense.
You got to stay calm.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, you got to stay calm.
I'm not sure I would call him sociopathic.
Oh, he's insane.
I don't know.
You have to be to have the kind of success he's had, especially when you're not given something. Like, he's no specimen.
I think he's very
driven. He's in the same shape I am.
He's driven and he's a perfectionist. That's one thing that is very clear. He's definitely a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. He wants to get it right every single time. And that's just not possible. So that, to me, begs the question of how good he will be moving on from mistakes, which we've seen in the preseason and in camp so far, that he's pretty good and moving on from when he screws up. But with that perfectionist mindset, that's definitely the downside to that. I think it's more like when he gets there up there at the podium, he's a 23-year-old kid who doesn't want to get yelled at for saying the wrong
thing.
And you know, but he's been getting yelled at his whole life.
It's not,
high school coach, Nick Saban, now Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. He's really good at getting yelled
at. Totally different to get yelled at for throwing in the interception versus getting yelled at because you said something you really weren't supposed to at the podium.
Oh, the buttery soft landing these fans are going to give him tomorrow if he has an even okay game, because A, he represents the future, and B, he's not Cam Newton. And Patriots fans have obviously shown the embrace and the enthusiasm prior to, and they are going to continue to absolutely lap it up and love everything he does. And as far as the pressure goes, I think there's not that much pressure on Mac Jones. Now, there's the pressure, obviously. No, I'm not kidding. I think the most pressure is on Bill Belichick because he still made the biggest decision, or at least is the figurehead, the face of the biggest decision, or what many consider the worst decision in the history of Boston sports, letting Tom Brady walk out that door. So this is your guy. You've chosen to be the future of the franchise. Okay, Bill. Oh, and you also needed the budget of a Pirates of the Caribbean movie to rebuild the team following Brady's departure. Okay, Bill. Mr. K wrote you the checks. Let's see your fancy new team with a pass rush and a rebuilt secondary and an offensive line and new wide receivers and fancy new expensive tight ends and your handpicked Alabama quarterback. Let's see those guys tomorrow.
There's certainly a ton of pressure on Belichick. I'm not going to argue with that. But Belichick has done a lot to earn him a little bit more wiggle room. You know, I think that there are plenty of fans out there and media personnel who would say you got to give him a little leeway with the success that he's had. You know, last year certainly didn't go the way that he planned. Not exactly sure what that plan was, but it wasn't It wasn't last year. And with Mac, I just think that this kid has the weight of the future of the franchise on his shoulders. To say that he's not under a lot of pressure, man, like, I don't know how he sleeps tonight. If I were him, I'd be having monster energies all day.
It's going to be him and the new queen of Patriots Nation, Sophie Scott, eating chocolate chip cookies, doing walkthroughs in the backyard, so totes adorbs like they're in a Pottery Barn ad, even though he's probably like, run it again, Sophie, that was wrong, because he's a sociopath.
Well, also, neither of them know anybody. So, like, what else are they going to do?
Oh, they're in with plenty. They've got plenty of friends in the area. Don't worry about
it. Do they?
Yeah, they're in with, like, oh, are you kidding me? The Stidhams and the Andrews, they all hang out. They're all besties already.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Why they got a dog.
I don't. Well, people get dogs because dogs are fun.
No, people get dogs when they're lonely. They need something to love them unconditionally. That's what dogs are for.
That's what they're for?
Absolutely. Unless you're using them on a farm. And I don't think they're living on a farm.
I'm sure Mac is going to have no hard time going out in Boston and having
some fun. But I'm talking about real friends, Stiz. You know what I mean. Real friends.
How many of us have them?
All right. Enough out of everybody. We have to pay. Let's pay the bills and catch people up on sports scores. 617-779-7937. Let us trend. We will continue to debate. We will take your calls and more. Stiz, hit that fancy sounder.
The best off-season Patriots coverage can be found here. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Why people buy dogs and does Mac Jones have friends? These are the topics that are trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com, as well as the fact that the Red Sox, sad trombone, lost the first of three to the White Sox last night. 4-3, Tanner Houck, who is healthy enough to start, went 3 2/3, giving up four runs in the wild card race. The Mariners and Athletics are now one game back of the second wild card, and the Blue Jays and Yankees both lost, so the Blue Jays remain a half game back of the second wild card spot.
It's so
93 North tight right now at like 8:13 a.m.
This is the weirdest playoff race ever. September for baseball.
Ever.
It is so strange.
As the NFL like gets off to a glorious start Thursday night with the best kickoff game I can remember and truly one of the better regular season games in a long time, baseball is a mess.
It's a mess.
It's an absolute mess. Red Sox tonight, 7:10 in the P, of course. You'll hear a little live BP, and then we'll have the pregame show right here leading you up to the game, and you can hear the game right across the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on that Odyssey app. Some of you are listening to our show on right now across all six New England states, except in Fairfield County. I wonder who lives there. After missing practice on Thursday, Nelson Agholor and cornerback Jalen Mills limited in Friday's practice. Jim McBride of the Boston Globe did say they were out there and moving well. Both are listed as questionable heading into tomorrow's Week 1 contest against the Dolphins. Wide receiver slash running back Malcolm Perry is out for the contest. The Revolution host New York City FC at Gillette tonight, 7 o'clock. Do not miss their 9/11 20th anniversary tribute in the stadium as well. I've seen the jerseys, and they are spectacular. That is what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back to Fitzy and Mega on EEI.
We are just under 26 hours away from kickoff tomorrow. Let's go, Pats fans. Let me hear you make some noise. My first chance to actually be back in the stadium tomorrow. In addition to, I had a chance to talk to the fans, Mego, on August 12th at the pretend season game against the Washington football team. But this is the first regular season game with fans since January 4th, 2020. We, of course, all remember what happened that night. I need remember it or remark on it no further. First chance to be back in the stadium where I do, like, you're in the media room and you're on the field as well, doing the reports, talking to players.
We call it the press box. The
press box, whatever you call it. Media room, media press box. I've been up there once. I got a free lobster roll when I was up there those days.
Like,
it was pretty yummy.
It's like calling uniforms costumes.
Outfits. It's like calling uniforms outfits. They put their outfits on before the game. Be in the Putnam Club tomorrow doing the chalk talk, as Ken Laird used to always like to jab at me for it. Talking to a couple former players about days of Patriots past, getting everyone hyped up. I think the mood down there tomorrow is going to be outstanding. Bet like the as jacked up, I think, as fans, as excited as I think the fans will have been in a long time. It's going to be hot tomorrow. Make sure you bring a little hydration liquids, some hydration fluids with you, a little sunblock as well. But the 4:25 kickoff is nice because the worst of the sun will get out of the way and we can just focus on some football.
Yeah, it's a perfect time.
Perfect time.
I'm good with a 4:25 kickoff. Night games stress me out, man. I end up there until like 3 a.m. Get creepy guys who follow me to my car.
All right. We didn't need to know that. That's terrible.
No, this happened to me once.
I know.
It was really creepy. The guy did not know what planet he was on, though. Oh, yeah. He was on Mars.
I get creepy guys
after
actually.
A Sunday night game.
Creepy guys follow you to the car all the time. Fitz, hey, Fitz, what do you think about the game? All right, that's enough. No, I'm good.
I think they want different things from us.
They do. Usually from me, it's like a selfie or a cigarette. They probably don't want those from you. I understand. And that's fine. Also, I'm all set with your pumpkin beers tomorrow. People can stop tweeting out pictures of the pumpkin beers they're buying and that they're going to be drinking tomorrow. That's enough.
I'm all set with people tweeting out beers in general.
Well, listen, if you started a TV show about visiting breweries in New England, you probably have to do that every now and again. Who do I know who did that? All right. We digress. That's enough about us. It's more about you and your phone calls. On two-way sports talk radio, 617-779-7937. Hey, let's talk to Steve in the truck. Steve, how are you, pal?
Cincy, I haven't heard talk to you in a while. I got to get something off my chest, and it's not you. It's, well, one thing you said. So all I hear is, you know, what Brady says, 90% of it is a lie. That's not what he said. He said, it's not what I'm thinking. You go to a courtroom with a camper like that, and they're going to say to you, you're wrong. What he's doing, I think what he's doing is giving you a diplomatic answer opposed to giving you, you know, something to make you feel bad. And then the loyalty thing comes up. And I have to tell Greg this, but, you know, Greg's been on my nerves lately because whenever the narrative doesn't go his way, he cuts you off. So on the loyalty part of it, you know, Belichick's been here, what, 21 years, 20, whatever it is. But he was here 18 years. He took less, not that he lost money because he didn't. But he enabled them to move money around so they could do better for the team. And the only time they did that was when they got Randy Moss. So for him to say, you know, or anybody say Brady wasn't loyal to this city or this state or this team is really egregious. I mean,
who's saying that, Steve?
A lot of people. I hear it on the morning show.
Oh, really? I don't feel that way.
I listen all day long and people talk about he left us. No, you know what? They didn't want to pay him. Don't give me the garbage because one guy in the area said they offered him $50 million. They didn't offer him $50 million. They offered him a one-year contract for $15 million, and that's what they offered him. All right? And then, you know, for the guy to go elsewhere and do what he did, I mean, you're never going to see that again, number one. So it's like, to me, it's sort of like Ted Williams. You never won the big one here. But, you know, people, I'm an older guy. I'm 60 years old. I watched Ted Williams play for a couple of years. And people gave him the finger in the stands because they never won. And you know, they're blaming the best player on the team. Because he left and went down there and seen greener pastures. Yeah, they're a great team. They weren't a super team because that defense wasn't developed until last year. And as you can see, the defense has a ways to go this year, the way they played Dallas. So I get really upset when I hear that.
We're not bashing Brady.
No, and I'm not saying you are at all.
I know you're not.
Nope.
I know you're not. You guys are good. I really appreciate you guys. But it just gets aggravated when people do that. They did that with, you know, Jim Weiss. I'm sorry I'm on so long. Let me tell you a quick story. Jim Weiss, the year that the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, Steve, unfortunately, we got to get to a couple clips before the commercial break, so thank you. Sorry, I would love to hear the Jim Rice story another time.
I want to hear about the Orioles, but...
I know, and I enjoy good Jim Rice story as much as the next guy. But first, real quick, before I react to a couple of the things Steve brought up, let's actually hear the clip I mentioned earlier where Brady said he 90% of what he says is lies or such that Steve disagreed, I quoted on.
I would say 90% of what I say is probably not what I'm thinking.
Okay, so that's what it is. So a little out of context. So I may have misspoke, if you will. I don't think it's worth taking a lap over or getting my hand wrung. However, you know, it's not what he's thinking. So it's not necessarily a lie, but he's not necessarily representing his own personal truth.
If that takes you by surprise, you are too naive to listen to anything that I have to say, man.
No. And as far as Brady, the loyalty and being paid, listen, he took less. Yeah, I understand, Steve, and anyone else out there listening who thinks that only one time did they go and get him a shiny piece. The Patriots had the strongest middle class of any football team for a long time, a team that was made up of great playmakers, solid role players, and, of course, the greatest player of all time to lead them. Yes, he was the most important part. Yes, he was at the top. Yes, he will never be forgotten. No, he should never be slandered. I would have paid him whatever he wanted forever so he never left and put on another uniform, but he's gone. He looks great in Tampa, and I can't wait for October 3rd, and I won't sleep a wink before that game that week.
I don't think we need to go.
We're not there yet. I'm getting ready for Pat's Dolphins.
No, but like this Brady slander thing, maybe they're saying that on some other shows. I don't hear that. I don't hear that from reporters. I think it's like nobody's denying what he's done and what he continues to do and what he gave this franchise. So keep it moving.
What did you think about how funky was your Friday? Let me ask you that. What did you think about
it? Was too funky because I woke up. I usually wake up, I gotta be honest, I wake up between like 8:30 and 9.
Oh my, how do you get to sleep that late?
I know, because I tend to work a lot of things in the evening, you know, so I end up waking up 8:39 during weekdays. And woke up and the funky Friday was already underway. I think I woke up at like 8:20 and I was like, oh GD, this funky Friday has already started.
Gosh darn.
So I put on the live stream, and then I was like not awake enough to be watching it, I thought. But then I watched it back a second time because I was like, okay, you know, I want to see what I missed. And I was like, no, this really was that incoherent. It wasn't
the Cam Newton, of course, we're speaking of.
It wasn't me waking up not having caffeine yet. It was, what was the point of this?
That Funky Friday, of course, just for context, that was the title of the, or is the title of the Cam Newton sort of sit down series that he does on his YouTube channel. He sat down yesterday with Cecil Newton, his father, and they had a chat about his playing time in New England and what went down getting released, correct?
Yes, and he teased this last week. Obviously, I think most people listening had some inkling of what he talked about on Friday. But I'm like, how long ago was that? This week is endless. But yesterday morning, I thought he was going to come out and address the vaccination status. I thought that was going to be what he wanted to clear the air on. He didn't come off like he was bashing anybody. But it was so disjointed and scrambled, and he contradicted himself several times that I just found myself sitting there going, what is the point of this? Who did he run this by besides his dad, who told him that this is a great look? He didn't come out of it looking terrible, but I don't think he came out of it looking any better than if he was just quiet.
I think, see, I disagreed yesterday vehemently with Christian Fourier, who believes that he is a total fraud, that this is a complete act, and the dancing, good vibes, goodwill, great teammate, funny nicknames thing is something to hide his insecurity because he knows he's not that good at football, and that's all sort of like part of the smoke and mirrors.
Well, that's a recent development, the not being good at football thing.
Because he used to be super good at football until he ran himself into the ground.
And whereas I think his personality has been his personality probably since he was 8 years old. Because like his dad said in that video, which made sense, is he's always been the big, athletic, good running, happy-go-lucky guy on the field. That's just who he is.
Right.
He hasn't changed his personality since his game came down to earth, but... That I don't think that's an act. I think that's who he is.
Right. No, I agree. And I am in the minority, I guess, at least in this area, because I don't think Cam Newton came across as disingenuous. I don't think Cam Newton.
I thought it
was a little messy, sure. But what's going to happen when you have an unscripted conversation with your dad sitting at midfield of the high school football field where you became a star years ago? Cam Newton, eloquent enough, never going to be a speaker at Oxford. But at the same time, I thought I liked what he had to say. I was actually a fan of it, and like he had a great moment coming together with his dad at the end of it. Like he has been by the side of his father. His father said in that Cam Newton Chronicles podcast series last year on The Ringer that he was his most influential figure in his life. And that this is the man that Cecil raised him to be. This is what Cam Newton knows: being emotionally honest, being outward, outgoing, giving. He's a man of faith as well. Church is a big part of their whole life as well. I know he's got a messy life and he was a lousy quarterback last year, but I thought he acquitted himself pretty well. And again, it puts me in the minority around here, but I liked what he had to say.
Can we get Stiz that one clip? Like, this is one example of what we heard from Cam yesterday.
I crossed all the lines. I checked all the boxes. I, dotted all my I's, and then to find out that I had to sit out, but I'm like, that's when I kind of felt bamboozled, because I'm like, y'all told me to go.
Yo.
If you said, it wasn't like, Cam, now you know if you go, you're taking it up on your own risk now.
Correct.
It was not that. It
Would
was
you
like,
have
oh,
gone
man.
Knowing the situation?
Absolutely not.
Yo.
See, so he felt a little bamboozled.
Well, what he says after that is he essentially says he wanted to go get a second opinion on an injury.
His list
but
Frank
he said
injury,
it didn't,
yeah.
it didn't, not because I was in pain. And then less than a minute after that, he says, because, I wanted to talk to a doctor about I'm having a little pain, but it was manageable. And it's like, wait, what? And that happened like at least four times in that interview where he contradicts something that he just said. And that's why I think it would have been better served to just put out a statement about your intentions for your career.
Better
and
served,
this
sure.
This weird rambling video just it didn't make any sense to me. What does he is it like? What did he clear the air on? That he still likes Belichick, that he still likes Kraft, that he thinks
yep.
Mac is good, but
yep.
Mac didn't beat him out on the job. He looked that looks silly.
I think he wanted to do that because he feels like to a fan base, and he still obviously does have a fan base. Now I'm not talking about teammates on the Patriots.
Oh, Cam, he has a huge fan base.
He has a huge
yes.
fan base. He wanted to sort of like either clear the air or set the record straight or make sure his opinion was out there and his truth was told. I don't agree with him entirely that there was any bamboozling. It's a shame that there are all these different protocols for unvaccinated players. His dad said he's got vaccination issues. Cam did not want to go into why he's not vaccinated. Okay, that's your personal choice, but you make it riskier in this contemporary environment, especially as a professional athlete, when you don't have a vaccination. And as far as the idea of him being released because McLennan would be uncomfortable with it, I don't necessarily buy into that. If Cam tells himself that to help him sleep better at night, fine. But in terms of Cam Newton, the personality, the presence being a bit of a distraction, and that's why the Patriots didn't keep him as a backup, I kind of do agree with that because, we're talking about this enormous, loud, dancing, humongous presence of a human being who, let's be honest, he would probably give them a better chance to win if he came in versus Brian Hoyer as the backup.
Well, then that is not a good thing for the future of his career, because I don't see him as a starting quarterback anywhere else. So if he's saying that they didn't want him as a backup here, that doesn't look good for his prospects if he wants to keep playing in the NFL.
How many job offers has he gotten since he was let go by the Patriots 10 days ago?
We are not aware.
Zero that we know of.
Right.
Teams have actually gone out of their way to say outwardly, like, we're out. We're done. Thank you, Cam. So they know, look, Cam Newton's game was the speed and the power of being able to run, take it himself, and shock people occasionally with, like, tight, zippy throws and long bombs. Cam Newton as an asset, if he wants to blame anybody, don't blame McLennan, don't blame Belichick, don't blame the Patriots. Blame your dad, blame yourself, and blame the Carolina Panthers, because they ran you into the ground until you were a diminished asset. And by the time he got walloped by TJ Watt in 2018, that was it. Since then, he hasn't been able to play right. His shoulder will never be the same. His feet aren't the same. He's not as quick. It's just the way it is. Like, time waits for no man, and unfortunately, it's come for Cam Newton and his professional career. So I agree with some of the things he said yesterday. I disagree with a few of them, but I do like the way he presented himself.
Oh, I totally think it came off so silly.
Mac Jones didn't beat me out.
Yeah, it came off silly and rambling. Silly and rambling and sitting with his dad. And this is another thing that athletes do that I think is frustrating. Is in these situations, they sit with a trusted friend or another retired athlete or family member, and they air it out. They get the stuff off their chest with nobody holding them accountable for what they're saying. And it allows them to talk and talk and ramble with no point and contradict themselves and come up with excuses and put them out there that don't even make sense. And it's just like, I don't think this is a good look. This is why I feel that reporters are important, because if somebody wants to go on the record and say, hey, this is my side of stuff and I want it out there, I just don't take it that seriously if the person that they're talking to is just like, yeah, and you know what else? You know what else they screwed you on is this and that. And you know what else? You should have gotten this.
That's where his dad comes across. That's where the dad didn't present himself well.
So many athletes do this, and it's like,
because they don't trust the media anymore, because they think there's gotcha media, and they think there's people that are going to misrepresent
gotcha
them.
It's like trying to figure out what actually happened. You know,
find the right person to tell the story to.
Happened. And there are really good, trusted journalists out there who can be empathetic. You can be empathetic and present the truth and connect with an athlete on a human level. It's just like these. It's almost like this self-promotional stuff that it just rubs me the wrong way of like, oh, blah, let me just sit up here and blah about myself for 30 minutes. Like, I don't think that presents you well.
Let's go to Dan in Cranston, old friend of the show. I'm sure he's excited for tomorrow as well. Wants to talk Cam Newton. What's up, Danny? How are you, buddy?
Hey, long time no talk. How you been?
Excellent, my friend. I can't wait for football tomorrow. What do you got on Cam Newton, brother?
Where do I start? I'll try to make this quick. I'm way on Megan's side on this one. This thing pissed me off on so many levels. First of all, how many drop opportunities did he have last year before they picked him up off the scrap heap?
Same number that he has right now.
Which means last year he would have been out of football like he is now.
Correct.
Maybe someone would have given him a chance. I don't know. But the point is, this will never end until Cam admits that he stinks and he's lost it. He still thinks he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. I call him sham for a reason. The whole thing with him is a sham. But the thing that pissed me off the most wasn't even football related. Obviously, having his dad makes it, you know, a farce to begin with. But when he said, when everybody goes left, I go right in terms of vaccination, which has nothing to do with sports, that pissed me off so bad that there's so many people in this country that are thinking the way he thinks, which is so stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and aside from vaccination stuff, that's just somebody being a contrarian, which is so annoying.
Yeah.
And a personality trait. Like, oh, everybody likes this band. I'm not listening to them.
So when he ends up on a ventilator, he'll be an idiot like everybody else. I know that's not sports, but that just pissed me off.
No,
but,
and I hear you on that. Me saying that I thought Cam Newton, I liked a lot of the things he had to say about the sports stuff. And thank you for the call, Danny. Appreciate it. I think he showed some of the gratitude that people probably wanted him to show towards Mac, towards the Patriots organization, you know, not being mad. And if he was mad, fine. That's his prerogative, whatever. He can do that as well. being the contrarian and, yeah, you know, going anti-vax, like, I'm not here for that as well. And some people thought it was farcical with him sitting down with his dad. I understand. There's a lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts, and full phone lines. You can try to get through at 617-779-7937. More on the Cam Newton stuff. And, of course, in Hour 3, which is coming up in moments, we will continue to talk Patriots-Dolphins. Do the Patriots have a shot at the postseason? How do you see tomorrow going down? It's all on the table here on Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
More Boston sports talk now. This is Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
The Cam Newton dialogue continues here on Fitzy and Mego. How funky was your Friday? Did you like what Cam had to say when he sat down with his father Cecil and more? Plus your 9/11 recollections, Pat's Dolphins. It's all on the table. Let's speak with Pauly in Quincy. Haven't heard, talked to Pauly in Quincy in a while. Pauly, how are you, buddy?
Nick, how are you, sir?
Very nice to speak with you, friend. How you been?
I'm well, thank you. Megan, can I ask Megan a very quick question before I get to my point?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Megan, have you ever been confused? I was flipping through the channels one night, and I came across an MMA fighter, and he was being interviewed by a woman. I know the first name was Megan. That's what caught my eye. Okay. And her last name was spelled Ottoliveri.
Oh, my gosh. Who is this person?
Yeah, and I thought, and the, your voices are very similar, and I'm thinking maybe they spelled the last name wrong, and it is actually you. Have you ever been asked this before?
No, I had no idea that there's this doppelganger, or at least name-wise, out there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got the last.
Maybe we're long-lost sisters.
Yeah. But anyway, regarding, and let me say, first of all, I really wanted Cam to say, I'm kind of a sentimentalist. I would have liked to see kind of a James J. Braddock, Cinderella type of story thing. Cam stays. They make a serious run. He looked improved. I really would have. I know it was a given he was not the future of the Patriots, but I really would have liked to see him, you know, try to do that. Because, you know, for me personally, I really get tired of being beaten over the head with the fact that pro sports are a business. I don't need to hear that anymore. I would like to hear a lot less of it. Yeah, I get it. It's a business. I'd appreciate it if, you know, because I'm getting to my, it's a Nick Nolte story. And Fitzy, you might remember that, or Megan, North Dallas 40.
Oh, when great John, movie.
John Matuszak flips out in the locker room and grabs Charles Durning. Listen, for you, it's a business. For us, it's got to be a game. And he almost strangles Charles Durning to death in the locker room. But the reason I bring that up is because regarding Cam being interviewed by his father, there was a story about Nick. Does anybody remember the documentary No Way Out with Nick Nolte?
No, I don't.
Nick Nolte interviews himself.
Okay.
Wow.
That's the ultimate interview, I guess.
Yeah, he was. His life was kind of spinning out of control, so he made a documentary. No one else ask some questions. He asks and answers his own questions.
That's an approach.
Yeah, Pauly, for sure. Great to hear from you, buddy. Thanks so much for calling. That would be pretty surreal. I call that taking a shower. I just ask myself questions throughout the course of the day. Nick Nolte.
Well, we all are. Most of us are toughest.
Harshest critic.
Yeah, our harshest critic. But, yeah, I mean, look, I understand why athletes do these kind of self-promotional videos, and they decide to do them with other athletes, former athletes, and trusted family members and friends. It's just, look, I take that into context. It's not exactly an unbiased person who's asking you the questions and following up.
One more before the break. Matt in Rhode Island, double dry hop. Matt, what's going on, buddy? Welcome to Fitzy and Mego.
Yeah, you know it. Fitzy, good job this week. I'm on the show. I heard you on the afternoon.
Thank you.
And, hey, Mego, that's Megan Olivey from the UFC. She is fantastic. She does all the interviews. You should really check her out. I think you could be there one day.
Okay, well, hopefully people will continue to confuse us then, since she's good.
Well, let me tell you something. She's a beautiful woman, and she's a great professional. So there you go. So here's my deal. I'm done with this can thing. Mm-hmm. We don't need to speak about this anymore. That was just foolishness. But, you know, before that, obviously, we had the greatest quarterback athlete of all time on the team, and there's still a lot of talk about him. What I really like about Mac Jones is, you know, he's his own dude. And I'm ready to turn the page on both the guys. You know, I'm still a Brady fan for life, but I'm ready to turn the page on both of those guys. And until otherwise noted, this is the Mac Jones era, and he's his own player. We'll start looking forward, and, you know, I think he's got all the tools as a leader. I think he's a football player, obviously, but he's a dirt dog. You know, remember those dirt dogs? And I think we're going to get
03.
Down here.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate the call. A dirt dog approach. That's what they used to call the Red Sox back in 03. I think Trot Nixon gave him that nickname. That was that scrappy pre-idiots. They were the dirt dogs before the idiots. Hey, maybe they were the boogeymen. Maybe they'll give themselves a new name this year. But that's exactly the kind of attitude, work ethic, and approach that will suit this team, that will do them well. And I think that will definitely, the fans will love that kind of approach. That's the whole New England thing. Like, you know, you take a regular lunch pail, hard hat.
Do you think it's still that
approach.
Way, though?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I
yes.
don't know, man.
It is.
I think it was the whole blue collar lunch pail mm-hmm. thing. Like, whenever people say that about the Bruins, my eyes roll so hard, they're going to fall out of my head. I'm just like, yeah, okay. The lunch pail guy is lunch pail full of money. You know, like, come on. And I say, like, I understand what that caller said before about Paulie saying he doesn't want to be hit over the head, that these guys are pros. And so the loyalty extends to partially to the paycheck, which you say see with somebody like Stephon Gilmore. On the flip side, like, yeah, well, guys also really don't like, you know, having to tank. You can never get players into buying in tanking.
Right.
Because they care about winning, and they care about their team and their teammates and all of that.
Unless
so
the check
there's a
is
flip
really
side
good.
To that. Yeah,
there is.
There is a flip side to that.
There
but
totally is.
The lunch pail thing, I don't know. I just hope that this team finds an identity, because last year's team had absolutely none. And you've turned over the roster so much. You have a rookie quarterback coming in. All of your captains are on the older end, and they're not exactly the guys who are making huge plays on the field. So I'm curious as to what identity they're going to form, what they're going to stick to.
Maybe it'll be the defense. Maybe it'll just be the idea of what Belichick football looks like. Maybe it will be behind Mac Jones or a combination therein. 617-779-7937. Third and final hour, which is well underway. Martin, Wayne, Tracy, Rick, don't go anywhere. We'll get to your calls. Plus, we'll preview the game, talk about the rest of the games on an awesome kickoff slate, and maybe just maybe work in a little Thursday night football talk, too, because that was a hell of a way to kick off the season. It's all coming up here on Fitzy and Mego.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.